Yesterday, as happens every Saturday, a group of us men were sitting down the hallway here in the conference room for just a time of prayer. And what a gorgeous day it was. Was just yesterday not a gorgeous day? Wow. And we did something that we rarely do at this building. We opened the windows. Because if you open the windows, the air conditioner or heater is going to get messed up. But we opened the windows at just the right temperature. And as we opened the windows on that prayer time, all of a sudden the breeze started to flow through. We opened the door, and just the entire full hour of prayer that we had, I just said, thank you, God, for the breeze, because it's reminding me right now of your Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's a tough subject to deal with. We don't know exactly how to handle the Holy Spirit because He's a part of the Godhead. He's so big, but you can't touch Him and feel Him and see Him. And so today we're just going to continue that series that we started the first Sunday of this month as one of our shepherds, Greg Crinks, introduced that subject. And then we had Mother's Day, and then we had a guest speaker. And so now, the last of this month, we're getting back into the subject of the Holy Spirit again. You know, the Holy Spirit, big, huge. We've talked about those things that He does, but let me just give you some other words, and I can even give you the verses if you'd like later. The Holy Spirit is a creator. The Holy Spirit speaks explicitly. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit witnesses. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit was there in the resurrection. Yes, the springing forth of new life in Jesus. The Holy Spirit, if you're a baptized believer, He indwells. He lives within Christians. Wow. He leads. He helps us in prayer. You've been there. Sometimes you're trying to get something out of your heart into words and it just doesn't come. Guess what? It's okay. Because the Holy Spirit makes moanings and groanings that we can't even phrase to get our thoughts to the Heavenly Father. He intercedes. He produces joy and peace. And He produces fruit. Whole class series next quarter, our main adult class next quarter on Sunday morning, starting next Sunday, is going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit alive in your life, what kinds of things ought you to be living like and how ought you to be conducting yourself? Have you ever had one of those days when things are going wrong? Just doesn't make any difference how hard you try. It just seems that everything you're trying to do backfires on you. It just gets worse and worse and worse. I've had days like that. I think you have too. Maybe today was one of those days for you. I don't know. Maybe yesterday. But you've been there. You've had those days where it just seems like, where is God? And how come life is so difficult? I've been flying a lot lately. I'm getting ready to head off again this coming Tuesday. And one of the things that I've noticed as I've flown is how different people react in airline terminals. If you've flown, you've noticed that there are some who are very, very businesslike, and you can tell, oh, they're experienced travelers. They just kind of routinely, and they just run through things like there's not even a thought. And there are others who are very scared or frightened, and this may be their first time. Well, I read the story this week of a woman who was flying, and she wasn't apprehensive, but she was hungry, and she'd finally found her way, you know, in those busy terminals, and if you get there a little bit late, all the seats are filled, and so she had her carry-on luggage, every single bit of it that she could get. And so she put those at the end of the little, it wasn't a pew, they don't call them pews, in terminals at the end of the little aisle, and put her purse down and got her carry-on bag and set them over there. And there was just one seat left, and there was a very heavy-set guy. She put her purse and she had stopped and bought a Kit Kat bar. She put that down with her stuff. And next thing you know, she comes back, having put her carry-on at the end, and this big heavy-set guy is eating her Kit Kat bar. And she says, he's eating my Kit Kat bar. And so he puts it down and she reaches over and grabs it. She says, if he's going to eat my Kit Kat bar, I'm just going to enjoy some of this Kit Kat bar myself. And so they went through the whole Kit Kat bar. I'm not going to eat the whole thing right now. But he gets up and goes and buys another Kit Kat bar. Goes to the snack stand there, buys another Kit Kat bar. She thinks to herself, I've never seen such gall. How rude. Came time for the second Kit Kat bar, and he took a bite, and she took a bite. He's kind of the gall that such a guy has. If he ate half of my last one, I'm going to eat half of this one, too. So they were both happy. There were two Kit Kat bars that were both gone. Then the terminal attendant announced that it was time to board for their flight. She got up, and she gets her purse and her carry-on, and she opens her purse, and there is her Kit Kat bar in her purse. You've had days like that, right? When it just seems like that everything goes wrong. And that's kind of the way the apostles are feeling here. That's kind of the way the apostles are feeling when we read John 14 and 15 and 16. Jesus knows what's coming. It's the last week of his life. And he even anticipates that one of them is going to be the betrayer. He's going to sell out. And the others are all going to deny him. It's been a pretty good week at the start. I mean, there's been the triumphal entry, and everybody is praising and worshiping God. You know, Jesus is ushered into Jerusalem, and everything is going good. But it's not going to last that way too long. Jesus hadn't come to establish an earthly kingdom, and they still didn't get that. They still didn't get it. They thought, you know, he was going to be the Messiah. He was going to rule in a kingdom in Jerusalem. In John 14, Jesus has kind of let them know it's not going to be the way you think it is. And he even says to them, I'm going to be taken from you. I'm gone. But I'm not going to leave you alone. John chapter 16, he says, I tell you the truth in verse 7. It is not to your advantage that I go away, or it is to your advantage that I go away, but I do not leave you alone. I will send a helper who will come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. He says, you're not going to be alone in all this. I'm going to send some helper. Let me suggest to you, in the first place, Jesus is wanting to encourage them. Let's flip back to the original text now, John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He knew they were troubled. That's why he was urging them not to be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. If I go and prepare a place for you, verse 3. John 14, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way you are going. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. I want to suggest to you in the first place, skipping on down there, Jesus says, how are you going to know? Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's something about knowing God, knowing Christ, that means that we're going to do the things he says. And so anytime I see somebody that says, I know God, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, is living in direct defiance, I scratch my head and say, there's something. There's not. No, because God, through Jesus, left the Holy Spirit. And he said, as the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're going to obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, he says, here it is again, to give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it did not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and I will be with you. So number one, I'm going to suggest to you, Jesus is saying, trust in my presence. Yes. Trust in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in also in me. I know you trust God. You need to also trust me. But remember, even when I'm gone, you can still trust me, because my presence is with you. Even when I'm gone, You can still trust me. The Bible clearly teaches that the things that we can see are only temporary. It clearly teaches that. That automobile that every single one of us drove here today in, or I saw one or two bikes, the bike or the automobile that you came in today, you know what? That's temporary. We think of it as permanent. It's not. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, it's gone. If it's an antique, 30 years, it's gone. This building in which we now reside, this beautiful new building, it's temporary. I hope it lasts 50 or 75 or 100 years, but it's temporary. Jesus is saying, my presence isn't temporary. It's forever. It's here with you. I'm sending my Spirit. Yes, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to leave you, but my Holy Spirit is permanent. It's my presence. Number two, trust in my presence. Number two, trust in my promises. Jesus says, yes, I am going away, but you can trust in my promises. When I go away, and depends what translation you have. One translation says, I'm going to prepare a mansion. Another says a room. Another says a house. He says, trust in, yes, trust in my presence. But number two, trust in my promises. I know it seems like it's going to take forever, but even the Old Testament, when God appeared to Moses and then to Joshua, it says it's like it seemed like he was never going to make good on his promises. They wandered in the wilderness. It just took forever. But he says, trust in my promises. Trust them. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can trust that. Trust in his promises. Old Testament. I know it seemed like it was going to take a long time, and it did take a long time, but my promises are trustworthy. They're loyal. You can depend upon them. Trust in my promises. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he did send the Holy Spirit, and he's the down payment for the promises. He's just the guarantee that you need to know that I'm going to keep good on my promises. Maybe it's a mansion. And finally, he says, number three, trust in my person. Trust in my person. Trust in me. You know the place that where I am going. Thomas said, no, we don't know the way. He says, trust in me. Trust in me. I am who I says I am. I am the Messiah. No one comes to the Father except through me. What a wonderful promise. He says, I'm not just going to show you the way or to tell you the way or to write out the instructions to how to get you there. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to lead you by my Father's hand. Then you'll be home. So that lady in the Kit Kat bar, you know, there was some confusion there. She didn't get it, and she was messing up. And today, as we stand here, as we sit here in this auditorium, there is some confusion, and we feel deserted by God sometimes. We say, God, can I still trust you? And the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and says, yes, you can trust me. Yes, you can trust in who I am as a person. Do you have burdens this morning? Without a job this morning? You buried a parent this week. You just got a diagnosis, but it wasn't a good diagnosis. Finances are not what you wanted them to be. You need the Comforter. This stuff that we think of being permanent, it's not. It's not. It's temporary. Jesus says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to be your guide, to be your helper, to be your advocate. He's going to walk through this with you. And what you see as being permanent, it's not permanent. What's permanent is my presence with you. And so, young people, I know life looks enthusiastic and life looks fun and life looks, and I'm telling you, it's temporary. I don't want to be discouraging. When life looks dark and gloomy, God sends His Spirit. And the Spirit is like that wind was blowing through that room yesterday. And my Spirit is just saying, yes, I'm here with you. I'm here for you. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. I'm here for you. And so 18 months ago when I lost my mom, my God is saying, Dan, it's okay. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. She's gone to a better place. She's gone to the permanent place. She's gone to the place that Jesus has gone to prepare. The three promises, I'll never leave you, Jesus said. And he sent his Spirit to remind him. Trust in my promises. You can trust in me. I am doing what I said I'm doing. I am preparing a place for you. And third, I will never leave you alone. The Holy Spirit is God's seal to say, it's good. I'm here. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. So Jesus has returned to heaven. Yes, he has. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. But he says, I've sent you the Comforter. And so today, I want to remind you, God has not deserted us. No matter how lonely things may feel, no matter how bleak and how gloomy and how dark things may feel, God has sent the Comforter, the Helper, the Counselor. He sent the Advocate. He sent the Intercessor. And today we want to pray with you. And we want to pray for you. And today we want to remind you that what you see as permanent, really, that's not permanent. The Spirit is permanent. Bow with me if we pray. Holy God, this subject of the Holy Spirit, yeah, He was there in creation. Yes, He was there in resurrection. Yes, God, He was there even when Jesus Himself felt forsaken as He hung there on the cross and He said, God, why have you forgiven or why have you forsaken me? God, even Christ felt forsaken sometimes, but you were there. You were there. And God, when we feel forsaken, when we feel alone, when we feel deserted, help us to remember that your Spirit is there with us. Every time we feel that breeze, let that be a reminder to us. Refreshing, God's Spirit is here. God, there are people here this morning that are burdened financially, loss of loved ones, a marriage that's in horrible shape, depressed, lonely. God, I just pray that you'll send your Spirit, that we will claim the promise of your Spirit, that it will give us comfort, just like Jesus promised in the first century. Yeah, physically we don't see you, but your Spirit is here, God. Help us to see that and believe that. God, we're going to sing a song. And during this song, there may be one or two or more that just need to feel the comfort and the assurance of your Spirit's presence. They need, God, they just need to know that this Comforter is still here. He's still for them. And so, God, if there are those that need to respond and ask for prayers, give them the courage to do so. And if we need to do so from where we stand, from where we sit, give us the courage, God. Claim the promise. We can't do it on our own. We need your help. Thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have a need, together as we stand and sing, will you come and share it with us?